put the global financial system on a more solid footing to avoid a repeat of the world economic meltdown. This aim has been described as the core agenda for the summit meeting of the world's 20 leading industrialized nations that opens in Toronto, Canada, this weekend. The G20 summit is taking place against the backdrop of a spreading debt crisis in Europe and disagreements between the G20 nations over a proposal for a global bank levy that could be used by governments to pay for future bailouts in the event of another financial meltdown. But although these are the kind of issues that are being keenly discussed in the run-up to the Toronto summit, there's far less talk about what measures are being planned to aid developing nations and provide more help for the poor and needy around the world. Michel Roy is the advocacy coordinator for Secours Catholique, which is part of the Caritas Internationalis Federation. In the run-up to the G20 summit in Toronto, he spoke to me about what measures Caritas would like to see taken at this meeting, grouping the leaders of the world's richest and most powerful nations.
The Canadian Prime Minister is not that much interested in financial regulation as would be the United States or Europe, because Canada has not suffered that much of the financial crisis. And among the G20 partners, there are countries that have not been that much affected as well. So it's not a major issue on the Toronto agenda. On Tuesday in Paris, President Sarkozy delivered a message which has been written together with Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, to ask Prime Minister Harper to put a financial regulation indeed on the agenda. So what will come out probably will not be what we civil society are expecting, and we are already at the French level negotiating with the French government the agenda of the G20, which will take place in Paris next year.
Have there been any moves among the G20 member nations to include for discussion at this summit in Toronto any measures to help developing nations reduce poverty and hunger levels?
Well, this is being discussed mainly in the G8 meeting in Muskoka, just ahead of the Toronto meeting, when the G8 nations again discuss on the level of aid they have decided to bring to the poorest nations. We, as civil society, are requesting that no more promises should be made, but that the already existing promises should be turned into reality. For instance, we're asking our governments, the G8 governments, to have budget laws in the parliament that will oblige the coming governments in the next years to fulfill the promises that have been taken already and to reach the 0.7% of the GNP for development cooperation. So no more promises, but act. This is what we are requesting. We have a lot of expectations there. There is a real need for domestic resources in the southern countries to remain in the southern countries and be involved in development efforts and not flee away to tax havens or banks in the north. There is a big need for transparency, which we are requesting from the G20 to address. For instance, a lot of money not being paid to the southern countries benefits from tax evasion or tax fraud, and that amounts to a few hundred billion dollars a year. It means that companies who should be paying taxes in the southern countries are not paying taxes or paying very low taxes and put their benefit in tax havens and do not pay taxes either in their home countries or very few. So tax evasion has to be stopped, and these type of resources should be going to national budgets to reach the Millennium Development Goals, at least, that is to struggle against poverty.
There's been a lot of discussion about a global bank levy or tax in the run-up to this summit, with the Eurozone countries particularly in favour of it. As a member of the Caritas Federation, do you support the idea of this levy on the banks?
Well, as Caritas Confederation, we support the idea of a financial transaction tax whose benefits would be used to reach the MDGs in the south, especially in the poorest countries where the financial crisis has had a big impact. This financial transaction tax should also be used or could also be used to, for the adaptation programs relating to climate change. So we approve the idea of innovative mechanisms for financing of development, especially this financial transaction tax. But the purpose of the tax has to be the struggle against poverty and the struggle against climate change, which affects the poorer in the southern countries.
You mentioned there, you know, the debt crisis. Of course, we've seen this growing debt crisis in Europe. How worried are you about this? I mean, we've heard some fairly doom-laden predictions of late about a complete collapse of the euro in the medium to long term.
Well, we know that the euro has been subject to speculation. We're still in this financial crisis. So the solution there is international regulation of the financial system. We know that the banks and the financial institutions are opposing this because they want to go on as they did before. But the governments, very clearly the United States government, but also the French government or the German governments, are aware that the crisis is still here. The euro problem is very clear about that, and that they have to take real regulation measures to control the financial system. Now, the banks and the private sector are invited to the 20 summit, but civil society defending citizens' participation and the poor are not invited. So we think something is wrong in the way that discussions are being led. And there's a strong lobby from the financial institutions for things not to change too much. Especially they don't want transparency to go forward. We are asking, for instance, that trusts, which are completely opaque, should be registered. There should be national registries of trusts. We think there's a lot more to do. And until this is done, we might still have such crises as the euro crisis.
As you said, the world is still struggling to come out of the global financial crisis. How hard is this recession, this meltdown, still hitting in developing countries and especially the poor and vulnerable throughout the world?
Well, we don't have figures really, but what we get from the ground through the Caritas network is that the situation of the people is dire. And no improvement coming up. Climate change, recently there were floods. Communities in Uganda, for instance, which have been flooded, are desperate. These are very concrete things that we hear from the grassroots. The trade distortions created by, the European Partnership Agreements that link Europe, the European Union, with southern countries, make life difficult for farmers because what they produce and want to sell in the marketplace is more expensive than what is imported from Europe. And this is going on. I mean, the crisis has not stopped. So the impact of the crisis, which is both financial and climate change, is something very concrete for the poor in the south. It is also concrete in the north when the unemployment level is rising.
Are you worried, given this continuing global financial crisis, that the G20 member nations could be tempted to go down the road of maybe cutting their aid to developing countries still further, you know, particularly with this growing debt crisis and the calls for austerity?
Yes, we're afraid of that. It is already a fact. For instance, Italy last year decided to cut its overseas development aid. And this is a reality. In France, this year, we should reach 0.5% of our GNP compared to 0.47% last year. So there's a small increase, but we know that this is a short-term increase and that it will go down probably in the coming years. So overseas development aid, which is very small, it's less than 1%, so that should be possible really for everybody, depends on the will of the donors, and this is not the solution. It produces only $120 billion a year when tax evasion and illicit financial flows from the south are around $600 to $800 billion a year. So we know the solution is not in aid. Aid is important as a solidarity, as the expression of solidarity between the nations. But the real financing for development will come from global taxes.
In his 2009 encyclical Caritas in Veritate, Pope Benedict called for more ethics and solidarity in the world's financial system. Do you think that this appeal hasn't yet been taken on board by the movers and shakers, you know, like, for instance, the leaders of the G20 nations, that it still tends to be business as usual?
I agree with what you say. I think the church, the Pope, Archbishop Migliore, who is the Holy See representative in the United Nations, recently gave a very strong speech around these issues. And I think the ethical and the moral necessity to change the world for the better by bringing the human beings at the core of the politics is not yet there. As I said earlier, governments are still discussing in a priority way with banks and the financial system, and we know that they are the ones who've brought the crisis forward. So how can they find the solutions with those people? Well, they have to work with other people, and I think that the Vatican's position is very clear, gives a good line on where to go. So there's still work to be done, and I think all of those who are listening to us now can raise the issue with their respective governments. We really need a global governance, political governance of the world, which has to be renewed from what it is now, because you have the United Nations on one side, G8, G20, who are self-proclaimed governance by the rich nations. We have to reinvent global governance, which will regulate and control this financial system, which has put all of us in a very difficult situation.
I was speaking to Michel Roy of Secours Catholique from Caritas, France.
There are people dying. Oh, and it's time to lend a hand to life. The greatest gift of all.